Let us turn in God's word this morning to the familiar and beloved 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, entitled A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. May God bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures unto our hearts. The text that we consider for the sermon this morning is the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, what makes Psalm 23 all the more meaningful to the child of God is the occupation that the human writer of this psalm had. The divine writer is God. The human writer was David. His occupation was a shepherd. Throughout the early years of David's life, it was his responsibility to go out and care for the sheep that his father owned. David spent many days and many nights alone watching over these flocks. David understood very well and on a personal level the struggles that come with being a shepherd over the sheep. He knew the loneliness of that occupation. He knew the fears that come with being a shepherd. He had to defend the sheep against the lion and against the bear. And yet here in this text, the psalmist David does not speak of himself as the shepherd. But he acknowledges that there is a different person who is the shepherd. Here, the psalmist David, who himself was the shepherd, acknowledges he's the sheep, and someone else is the good shepherd. I am the sheep, and Jehovah is my shepherd. There was somebody else who shepherded David in a far better way than what David would ever have been able to shepherd himself. Someone who understood the nature of sheep and the needs of sheep with perfect wisdom. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's consider this text this morning under the theme, Jehovah, my shepherd. First, we'll consider this is a humble confession. Second, a confident confession. Third, an everlasting confession. This is a humbling confession, beloved, to take these words as your own words. To say the Lord is my shepherd. You know why it's humbling? Because to say that the Lord is my shepherd is to say, I am a sheep. It is to confess my own weakness and my vulnerability, to proclaim that someone else is my shepherd. In biblical times, throughout present times, it is the duty of the shepherd to take care of sheep. It was not the duty of the shepherd to watch over the sturdy and resilient oxen. It was not the duty of the shepherd to tame the wild and rugged stallion. It was not the duty of the shepherd to domesticate the soaring eagle, but it was the duty of the shepherd to take care of lowly animals called sheep. Animals that were simple, animals that were earthbound, slow-moving, not known for their brilliance, unable to defend themselves, unable even to lead themselves into the green pastures or to go beside the still waters where they might drink, we are confessing in this psalm that we are sheep. And who wants to be called a sheep? Oftentimes in the political arena, the word sheep is tossed around as an insult unto those who oppose that individual. To be a sheep is to be one who doesn't understand what's going on around him or her. To be a sheep is to acknowledge that one is simply following the masses. To be a sheep is to acknowledge that I'm not an independent and free thinker. To be a sheep is to acknowledge that I depend upon the care and protection of someone else. To be a sheep is to confess that I would fall into that crevice and I would not be able to get myself out were it not for the help of someone else. There can be shame that is associated with the title sheep. The proud person would never admit that the Lord is my shepherd. For the proud person would say, I am that courageous lion. I am not a sheep. But God humbles us. He humbles us even through, and perhaps especially through, parenting, which reveals unto us we are but sheep. As God sends us through the trials of this life, as God sends hardship after hardship, God slowly, incrementally strips us of our pride, strips us of our thinking that we are independent, strips us of our thinking that we can stand on our own two feet, and God more and more reveals unto us that we are sheep. While it is the case that the world might use the word sheep as a taunt and a form of mockery, the Bible does not use the word sheep in such a way. It ascribes no such insult to the word, but instead, this is Jehovah God's own description of His covenant people, the people whom God chose to be His own sons and daughters, the one whom God has taken into His family, the one whom God purchased with the shed blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ, whom God delivered out of the captivity of Egypt, whom God gave unto them manna from heaven and water from the rock, the ones who were preserved by God in the wilderness for 40 years, which wilderness was barren and otherwise insufficient to keep His covenant people alive. To these people whom God loves and considers to be the apple of His eye, God's word is, you are my sheep, and I love you, and I do not look down upon you or belittle you because you are sheep. We who are God's children do not shy away from the term, but we say with humility, The Lord is my shepherd. In distinction from the vulnerability and weaknesses of the sheep, there stands the powerful, the loving shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In biblical times, it was the duty of the shepherd to feed the sheep, and it was the duty of the shepherd to defend the sheep. The next verse speaks of the shepherd feeding and leading the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not an easy task this was to be a shepherd in Palestine, for much of the land was barren. The shepherd had to be familiar with the terrain. He had to know where the green grass could be found at. He had to know the location of the oasis so that he could take the sheep and lovingly and gently lead the sheep unto the green pastures. And not only was it the case of the shepherd that the shepherd had to know the land, the lay of the land, but the shepherd also had to know the enemies that would threaten the sheep, who are the predators that would come and attack these vulnerable and defenseless sheep. There had to be great courage that was found in the one who is identified as a shepherd. Courage to stand up against the lion and the bear. Courage to use that rod in order to beat away the enemies that would attack the vulnerable sheep. This shepherd who defends his sheep and who provides for his people is Jehovah God. God is the one who leads his people. He leads us into green pastures where we may eat. He leads us beside the still waters where we may drink. And where is it that Jehovah God leads us unto? Himself. For he is the water, and he is the bread of life. Jesus, in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. So God powerfully, irresistibly, and graciously leads his people by his word through the operations of the Holy Spirit, and he draws us unto himself, where our souls are nourished with the bread of life. How powerful is our shepherd, and how loving is our shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Have you considered before what this means for God to be counted a shepherd? When we look at this text, we oftentimes look at the text from the point of view of what does this mean for me? What blessings and benefits do I derive from the fact that God is my shepherd? But now I urge of you, look at this from the point of view of God. What does this mean for God that God is counted here in this text as a shepherd? If you think of who it is that normally had the position of a shepherd, it was not the high in the mighty, who were shepherds. It was not the important rulers, the important dignitaries of this earth who occupied the position of being a shepherd. If one was a shepherd, usually being a shepherd would be the starting place of one's career, as it were. He'd begin in his youth as a shepherd, but then he would move on to what might be considered more important, more prestigious positions and callings. David, for example, as a young man, he started out as a shepherd tending over his father's sheep. But David did not remain forever in that position, but he graduated on to something more important. He became the king over the nation of Israel, a powerful and important man who led the troops into battle and who fought against the enemies of God's nation. Consider Moses, who likewise spent 40 years in the wilderness tending to sheep, but then after that he graduated, he moved on to being the leader of God's people, taking God's people out of Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan. And thus it is then that to be a shepherd is hardly considered the pinnacle of one's career. Oftentimes, who are the shepherds? It was a hired hand. Abraham had many different flocks, and he had servants, hired hands, who would go out and be the shepherds to take care of those flocks. Job, a wealthy, wealthy man, had hired hands to go out and take care of all of his flocks. And now we are saying in this verse, the Almighty God is a shepherd. Do you behold, beloved, the condescension of our God? He who is the eternal God, the I am that I am, the God who is and who was and who forever shall remain, the Almighty, the unchanging, the Lord of hosts, the uncreated, uncaused God chooses to be a shepherd. He does not simply hire the work out to someone else and have the hired hand do the work of being a shepherd to his people, but through his Son, Jesus Christ, he condescended into this world to be the shepherd of his sheep. The independent God, the God who is not influenced by the thinking and the will of man, this God has determined that he will be the everlasting and perfect shepherd. How loving is it of our God to reveal himself to us in the Holy Scriptures as the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the present reality for the child of God. The psalmist is not expressing a longing for the future. He is not saying, I hope someday that the Almighty God will be my shepherd. But right now, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And whatever the circumstances of your life might be, and whatever trials, burdens, or rejoicing and happiness that is yours, this is your confession. The Lord is my shepherd. Knowing that Jehovah, the Almighty God, is our shepherd, we then have great confidence as we go through this earthly pilgrimage. The confidence we have is expressed in the second half of this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can remember as a child struggling to understand what this means, I shall not want. As a young child, I and perhaps other children had a misunderstanding of this verse. Understood it to mean this way, the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not want. Well, that doesn't make any sense to say that the Lord is the shepherd that I shall not want. We are not saying here that God is the shepherd and we don't want God as our shepherd. Instead, we're saying God is my shepherd, and now because God is my shepherd, therefore, I do not have any wants or any needs. I will receive what it is that God has willed that I am to receive. This does not mean I have no want. Does not mean that we'll never have any other desires. It does not mean that we can get absolutely whatever our heart wants, that we can dream loftily of what earthly ambitions we're going to have, and then, well, because God is my shepherd, now I have his stamp of approval on desiring whatever it is that I want, and I know that God will give it unto me because he is the Almighty God. No, that's not the idea here of saying, I shall not want, but rather it's this: Jehovah will give unto me exactly what I need. And he is the one who determines what I need. That's the basic idea of the word want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not need, want. Same word is used in Exodus chapter 16. Which speaks of the Israelites collecting their manna in the wilderness as that manna fell down from heaven. Exodus 16, verse 18. And when they did meet or measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And the words translated had no lack are the same root word, same as the root word found in this text, I shall not want. The one who is God's child will have everything provided for him that is necessary for his soul and for his body. To say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is an expression of contentment. By nature, this is something that we never would say, I shall not want, because there are so many different things that our nature does want. Who wouldn't want to be able to lose 5 pounds? Who wouldn't want to have a little bit more money in the bank? Who wouldn't want to have more health, more stability upon this earth? And then these desires that we have are not limited to ourselves, but as well, there is selfishness that is found in our children. The sinful desires, sinful self-centeredness that parents have is also found in children. There's selfishness that's bound up in the heart of children by nature. And as children go through this earth, they reveal more and more that selfishness, that lack of contentment that they have. They cry and complain when things do not go their way. And so it is the case then to say, I shall not want, that is, I will be content, is a learned truth. Parents must learn this truth, to be content with what Jehovah has given unto them. And parents must spend their entire lives learning this truth of contentment. The contentment that the Christian has arises not because the conditions of life are exactly what one wanted them to be, but this contentment instead arises from the knowledge that Jehovah is my shepherd. And I believe that Jehovah will give unto me exactly what I need at the exact moment in time that will be sufficient to guide me and lead me unto himself, Jehovah God. I shall not want. Mothers, learn to say this. I shall not want. I am not going to look enviously at what God has given the neighboring mother. I will not be jealous of the abilities God has given her. I will not be jealous of the way she dresses her children. I will not be jealous of the way she decorates her home. I will not be jealous of the type of food she makes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And fathers must learn to make this confession. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to look at what God has given the neighbor for an income and then compare my income to the neighbor's income and be jealous of that. I'm not going to look at how many different responsibilities the neighbor is able to juggle in his life without apparently becoming overwhelmed or stressed out. I'm not going to compare myself to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to look as a male at the number of possessions that God has given to the neighbor, at the size of his home, at the year or make and model of the vehicle that he drives, and then jealously covet what God has given to the neighbor, but instead, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not only is this an expression of contentment, this also is an expression of trust in Jehovah God. To say, I shall not want, is to say, I will not worry about tomorrow. I am not fearful of what the future looks like. If Jehovah is my shepherd, what could I possibly lack or be in need of? This goes against our nature, which tends toward fearfulness. And especially in the context of parenting, this nature of parents is revealed, worrying about children. It seems there are 1,001 things that could go wrong in parenting. How will I care for this child? How will I provide for this child? How will I protect this child, especially in the day and age in which we live, in which wickedness abounds, in which the devil has greater levels of deviousness, of bringing evil devices even into the homes and placed in the hands of children? And how am I going to protect my children against all of these evils that are found in this world? How will I order the steps of my children according to the desires of Jehovah God? How am I going to educate sufficiently this child so that when this child comes to years of discretion, he or she is ready to take his place as an adult in this world? And speaking of this world, what if my child is alive at the end of this world? What if my children or my grandchildren are alive when the great tribulation comes upon this earth, when there is worldwide persecution, when the devil is given the ability to drive the members of the church unto the hills so that they must seek escape from the devil and his torments? All of these questions can rise up in and occupy a place in the mind of the parent as he seeks to rear up children in the midst of this world. And then the parent must be reminded again, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. I shall not want. The eyes of the Christian are to be directed not at all of the things of this earth that would be the cause for worry and concern, but the eyes of the Christian are to be directed unto the shepherd. Recall, we are but sheep, and sheep are not known for their brilliant insights. Who are we to think that we know what is best? Who are we to think that our plan is better than the shepherd's plan? We must daily renounce our own will and without murmuring submit unto the will of the good shepherd. The shepherd has plans that go beyond the plans of the sheep. The shepherd understands things that we who are sheep will never be able to comprehend upon this earth. It is the duty of the sheep then not to call the ways of the shepherd into judgment, but it is the duty of the sheep to follow by faith the way of the good shepherd. The goal of the shepherd is that his name would be exalted in the salvation and preservation of his elect people. The goal of the good shepherd is that his name would be exalted above every other name that is named upon this earth, that every knee would bend and worship Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Sometimes this means then that the good shepherd leads his sheep into very low places. Yea, he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, so that we might be stripped of our pride, and that more and more we might exalt and praise the name of our God. He puts us in this valley for a reason, so that we might see all the more his transcendence as the God of our salvation. He takes us out of the pit, and he sets us upon the rock, which is higher than us. This is, beloved, our everlasting confession. Jehovah, my shepherd. It's a confession that we make all the days of our life, and it's a confession that we will make into eternity. The psalm concludes with this, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This we know, that God will always be our shepherd. There are so many other things that we do not know. We do not know how many days God will be pleased to keep us on this earth. We do not know how many days God will be pleased to give us with our children and with our grandchildren. We do not know what burdens will come tomorrow, what trials will be ours. But this we know, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the Lord is our shepherd. This is the confession that we make by faith. Faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. Faith, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we believe that the Good Shepherd is, and that the Good Shepherd is the Redeemer of the sheep. By faith, we believe that the Good Shepherd loves his sheep, even to the point of giving up his own life. He is not the hireling, the hired hand, who flees in the face of adversity, but he is the good shepherd who has a vested interest in the sheep. He loves the sheep because the Father gave the sheep to him in the eternal decree of election. Jesus, the good shepherd, loved the sheep to the point of his own death on that accursed tree. The shepherd condescended to the depths of hell so that we might be freed from sin and the guilt of it. Thanks be to God that he is our good shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are thankful for thy word. We are thankful that we can call thee our shepherd. Wilt thou strengthen, bless us as parents? Wilt thou give unto us faith to believe that thou wilt supply our every need? Wilt thou, Father, strengthen our faith more and more, that we might look unto thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ? Wilt thou graciously forgive whatever was done or said in sin? Wilt thou receive our worship for Jesus' sake? Amen.